This show furnished by Dual Diagnosis Treatment Center.
Welcome to In Your Right Mind, a weekly discussion of behavioral health issues that affect our lives. We all have issues, so let's start talking.
Welcome to In Your Right Mind, a weekly discussion of behavioral health issues that affect our lives. We all have issues, so let's start talking. My name is Stephanie Wilder-Taylor.
And I'm Dr. Tanmay Sharma.
It's a situation that millions of people face every day, the realization that they or someone they love has an addiction or serious mental health issue. But now what, right? Due to the dizzying array of treatment options out there, taking the next step to seek help can feel overwhelming.
Yes, and a number of factors affect how you get into treatment and your decision about where you go to treatment. They could be concerns about, you know, if you have private insurance, what does your insurance cover? The location of the facility, whether you want it close to home or away from home, the philosophy of the facility. So if you're talking about addiction, for example, some people want 12-step orientated facilities, others don't want that. And so choosing a treatment facility is an important issue, and looking at whether it's properly licensed and does it have accreditation, etc. And then can they deliver what they're advertising? That's an important issue.
Absolutely. But sometimes, you know, when you're in the throes of addiction or someone you love is, it can feel very overwhelming, and we don't want it to be a struggle to get help. So we today are going to demystify the process, and joining us to help us do that is Nora David, the program director at Sovereign Health's Rancho San Diego Adolescent Facility.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome. Welcome to the show. And we also have Ken Seeley, probably the most famous interventionist, and he's best known for his appearances on A&E's reality show Intervention, and is the author of Face It or Fix It. Face It and Fix It. He's also the founder of Intervention 911, and I have personal experience of working with Ken and Intervention 911. It's a fantastic organization, and they specialize not just in interventions, but also finding the appropriate treatment centers for people that need help for addiction. And Ken has started up something really, really novel that has independently got accreditation from the Joint Commission for the first time, which is about case management and follow-up. We're talking about how important it is to follow people up. So I seem to have done an extensive review of what you do. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Sharma. Thank you, Stephanie. It's great to be here.
So first, let's talk about the types of treatment. I think it's our listeners may not be from our field. So I wanted to talk to you about the levels of treatment, if you like, and in terms of what levels of care. So maybe you can take our audience through that.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is absolutely right. Finding the right level of care, making sure it's a clinical fit. I know with the show, we've taken many different clients to you. One of my favorite was, a woman dealing with trauma and, you know, being able to send her to a facility that just focuses on women only and trauma was so beneficial for her. To deal with, you know, the things that she had to deal with to get to the root of her addiction. So I think it's really looking at the clinical fit first and making sure that it's the right fit for each individual.
So this is the facility in Chandler, for the Sovereign Health facility in Chandler that you're talking about, I think, that episode, correct?
Yes, the Chandler facility. It was,
yes.
She's still doing amazingly well, and this was years ago, and, you know, just knowing that, you know, looking for that right facility, because, I mean, if we would have taken her to, you know, a co-ed facility, then, you know, dealing with love addiction on top of it, you know, she may have refocused her addiction from drugs into love and looking for a man to hook up with. So she was able to have a safe environment at Chandler and be able to really focus on the root of her trauma. of the molestation and the things that have happened to her in her past, to really dig down deep and have that safe environment with women only to really get to the help that she needed and to get long-term recovery.
But we also see that people are not that enthusiastic about coming into treatment. I remember you did a CE event in San Clemente and you described your trauma of getting her into treatment.
Oh, yes. I remember that case quite clearly. I remember how devastating it was, because it was really about, we were able to intervene and get her into treatment, but getting her to stay was the hard part, and it was the family that kept dropping the ball. You know, the family said, okay, we'll put some healthy boundaries into place, and, you know, we won't allow her, you know, to leave treatment. And if she does, we will, you know, do A, B, and C. But then the minute that she left San Clemente and she went out, I remember it was a holiday weekend. I think it was a 4th of July weekend, and she disappeared. And then all of a sudden the mother's taking her phone call saying, oh, I'll come get you. You don't have to stay in detox and you don't have to. So the trauma is also on the family unit, because they didn't realize she was in a safe environment, and, you know, she was with you. Actually, she was with you in Palm Springs first in detox, and the mother picked her up out of there. You got her into San Clemente, and then the mother pulled her out of there because she left there, and I think she went home a couple days later and ended up getting in a car accident and ended up getting killed.
Oh, boy.
But that was the mother, you know, and I hate, you know, you don't want to say I told you so, but for the listeners, you know, you have to put boundaries into place to get people to want to stay in treatment, because without healthy boundaries, you know, they want to go out and use. That's what the addict wants to do. But the family needs to be the strong ones, and they need to say, we are no longer going to tolerate your using, and you're in a safe place. She was in San Clemente. She was in detox, doing extremely well, but the mother bought into her, you know, and her insanity, you know, the disease, which every addict does.
For anyone that's just tuning in, you're listening to In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma, and we're talking about finding the right treatment for you or your family member. And Ken, let me ask you this. You were talking about women, a woman needing to go into a treatment center that specializes in trauma. How important do you think it is for people to go to a treatment center that's for their particular, like whether it's a center that specializes in LGBT or if it's for women? Do you always feel like women should be with other women? Adolescents should be with adolescents? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really important, especially if you have a young woman that's also dealing with an eating disorder, that you know, have a place that understands how to deal with her eating disorder, because, you know, once she's understanding how to deal with her drug addiction, you know, the eating disorder is going to flare up. And if the treatment center doesn't know how to handle that, then really you're not doing the best help that you can for that individual. So I think it's really, really important to, you know, get a clear assessment of the individual going into treatment. You know, is there an eating disorder? Is there a love addiction? Is there a sex addiction? Is there, you know, what else is going on with them? And, you know, especially with young women, they gravitate to what makes them feel good and feel, you know, appreciated. And that's, you know, dating. So we always call it detox love. You know, and you see that a lot. And if somebody's really focused on that and that's a pattern of theirs, then why wouldn't we put them in a women's only facility?
Absolutely. You know, we need to go to a break right now, but when we come back, we're going to bring in Nora David to talk about the special needs of adolescents. And we're also going to have our guest, Cal Saul, share his experience finding a rehab for his son. You're listening to In Your Right Mind, brought to you by Sovereign Health on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Scott, and I have a new talk show that will help you get out of debt faster, save more money, retire rich, and become a financial rock star. Get up early and listen to the Scott Allen Turner Show, Sundays at 4 a.m. on 790 KABC.
This is Merrill Schindler with the Daily Nosh here on KABC. I'm with Greg Doolin from Doolin's on Crenshaw and two other Doolin's restaurants. And I got to ask you, your dad was, he was the king of soul food here in Los Angeles. He was the king, the prince, he was it all. What did he teach you?
Oh, my goodness. He taught me so many things. But as it relates to business, he taught us to take care of the customer and to make sure the customer is satisfied and that the customer receives good service. And if you take care of the customer will take care of you. And then he taught us to put extra food on the plate.
Which you do. Your portions are, can I say, generous?
We've been told that, yes.
The restaurant is Doolin's on Crenshaw, and it's Doolin's Soul Food Kitchen over at Manchester and La Brea and Century and Western. Doolin's, you can't go wrong with their food.
Having problems sleeping? I can solve that. I'm Dr. Nazarian, the Beverly Hills dentist. Wait, you ask, how can a dentist help me sleep better? My answer? By fixing that toothache that keeps you up all night. I also provide all the dental services your family may need. My number is 310-277-8232. So if you want to get a good night's sleep along with a great smile, give me a call. 310-277-8232. Also at thebeverlyhillsdentist.com. Pleasant dreams.
Tony Gatliff here, host of Military Resource Radio, the only show that enlightens our audience regarding military-related resources. We also discuss real estate, mortgages, current events, and a little bit of everything. Military Resource Radio, Sundays at 5 a.m. on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Wendy's Double Stack is back in the 4 for $4 with a quarter pound of fresh, never-frozen beef, which means you can get the Double Stack, the Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, or the Crispy Chicken BLT, along with four nuggets, small fries, and a small drink, all for just $4. And it's only around for a limited time, so you better hurry and get to Wendy's today. That's a deal so good, it can't be beat. No, I said beat, not beep.
Sorry, man.
Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S. and Canada.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh, man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. Scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. What doesn't make sense is if we call bicycles bikes and tricycles trikes, shouldn't we call motorcycles mics? Maybe a bunch of guys named Mike teamed up and put a stop to it.
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
One size fits all has no place in your bedroom. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of Helix Sleep, and we know one mattress can't work for everyone. That's why we created the only mattress built for you. Go to helixsleep.com, take our two-minute sleep quiz, and we'll build your custom mattress and ship it to you for free. Try for 100 nights, and if it's not the best sleep you've ever had, we'll pick it up and give you your money back. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio right now, and we'll give you $50 towards your custom mattress. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
What is us?
Us is a foundation.
Us is the future.
Us is a bond.
But right now, that bond is frayed.
And we need a place that could make it whole.
From diabetes prevention to safety around water.
The Y fills the gaps.
And bridges our divides.
But they can't do it without us.
Donate today.
Because where there's a Y, there's an us.
Led by members of the Y.
The Y. For a better us.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles. If it's got a motor, we've got your man. If there was ever a time you needed an automotive expert like Leon Kaplan at your side, it's now. The Motor Man. This morning at 8 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We're back with In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. I'm Stephanie Wilder Taylor, and we are tackling the topic of treatment. We're talking with Nora David, Sovereign Health's Rancho San Diego Adolescent Facility Director, and also Ken Seeley, star of A&E's Intervention and also the author of Face It and Fix It. And right now we're also joined by Cal Saul, who has a personal experience with sending his son to treatment. Can you?
Well, Nora, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I think it would benefit our listeners if we, delineated the different levels of care that the San Diego facility for adolescents provides, and you know, a brief outline of what you do there and what happens there.
Absolutely. So we don't necessarily like to give a time frame of how long treatment is going to be. We like to get the child into the facility, and we serve a population 12 to 17. We serve both genders, male and female, and we also provide services for mental health, substance abuse, and eating disorders. So we have a variety of interventions that we can utilize at our facility. The neat thing about the Rancho San Diego facility is that we can have residents that are 12 to 17. The different levels of care are residential, partial hospitalization, and intensive outpatient. And those are three different levels of care. Within each level of care, we provide a different number of hours for clinical intervention. And so it's based on what medical necessity is and whatever symptoms your child is experiencing and showing at the facility. We basically take those symptoms and report that in a clinical review.
You also have a very interesting track there. I understand that you've helped people with transgender issues.
Yes. So we do have a specialized track in transgender, LGBT sensitivity, and what that is it's an elective. And so what we do is all the kids get the same treatment. However, there are electives that we provide for the residents. And so some residents can option to go to a transgender group versus going to a regular mental health group, and they get specialized treatment for identifying as an individual of the opposite gender.
Do you have a lot of kids in at one time that identify as transgender?
The largest group that I've had was about 7 kids, and they identified as transgender. And the neat thing nowadays is that based on our licensing through the state of California, is it's a patient's right to be housed in the house that they identify as. So if they come into the facility and they identify as a male and they were born female, I can place them in a male house due to that.
That's nice. That's wonderful.
So you have separate housing for male and female?
Yes, there's separate housing for male and female.
So how many houses are there in the facility?
There are 5 houses total. Okay. on the property. 2 are dedicated to male houses and 3 for female.
And you have an eating disorder?
Yes, there's an eating disorder house specifically for females.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit about how, you know, what do people do there during the day?
So let's say a child comes into the facility. They first go through an evaluation. It's about a 6-hour evaluation, so it's pretty lengthy. We get the background, the crisis that brought the child into the facility with the family, and move forward from there. The first week is really acclimation to the program, and we base everything off of the attachment theory, because we have a lot of kids that have had interrupted attachment styles, and so we want to make sure that they're latching onto somebody at the facility. Once the first week is over and they get acclimated, what we do is then we start broadening the types of interventions. So we start sending them to the respective, let's say, mental health groups versus the initial first week, because they're in blackout. So after that, what they do is it's an array of different interventions. So in the morning, they can wake up, and we have horses that come to the facility. They provide equestrian therapy. And so after that, they'll go to a mental health group. So we have groups for DBT, which is dialectical behavior therapy, or cognitive behavior therapy, you know, trauma-focused therapy, family therapy groups. And what we do is they have, depending on the level of care, they get a certain number of groups. So each day, let's say they have 6 clinical groups, and they have to be able to go through that. And during the week, sometime they'll have 2 individual sessions and a family therapy session. And so there's a lot of different interventions that go along with being there.
If you're just tuning in right now, you're listening to In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. We're talking about the adolescent facility. And we also have a guest here, Cal Saul, who you brought your son to treatment. And can you tell us a little bit about what was going on before you reached out for help?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, my son was completely out of control. We could not, he wouldn't listen to anything that anybody said. Very, very manipulative, doing very, very poorly at school. He was getting in all kinds of trouble. Eventually, we had him with a therapist. The therapist recommended that we try homeschooling him. And, we did that, and that only made matters worse, because then he was just being defiant with us and not basically at school. And then he was getting into trouble. You know, he was doing things that a 14-year-old shouldn't be doing. He was going out and smoking pot and doing other things. And we were at our wit's end. You know, we had him see a psychologist. We had him see a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist had put him on different medications, and he just refused after a while to take the medications. He didn't like how they made him feel. He said he didn't feel like he was himself on the medications. And we visited Sovereign Health, and immediately when we came in, we were very comforted, because from the first person that we met, we were greeted with a context of caring. I didn't feel like I was going into a clinical environment where they're going to put my son in a straitjacket and stick him with a bunch of needles. You know, I felt like the people there really wanted to help. They cared about people. They cared about children. They cared about teenagers. And the first thing they wanted to do was talk, get to know us, get to know David. And so it was just initially going in there, that whole experience made my wife and I feel very comfortable. And
it must have been a big step. I mean, I can imagine as a parent, you know, you must have really reached a breaking point where you felt like you didn't have another option. And I bet for a lot of people, they feel like that's such a huge step. And I'm sure it's comforting to know that, you know, it's not the scary thing that people have in their minds. It's actually something that can help and repair what's going on at home.
Yes, and I think Ken mentioned that the family is really important in the adult side of things. And Nora, tell us about the role of the family in the adolescent part of it.
So the role of the family is extremely important. We always want to have the families involved, whether it's the family that is that they are currently living with, or the family that the child will be going back to. The family has one of the most important roles, because everybody needs to change. It's not just the child that comes in that needs treatment. It's the whole unit of treatment. And what I mean by that is, who's involved in this child's life? Is it the mom, the dad, siblings, whoever it is? Those individuals all need to be in treatment with the kid. And we have weekly family sessions in order to address the issues that are happening within the system. And how are we going to deal with it? Is it the communication styles that are really ineffective? Is it the acceptance level, the guilt, the shame, whatever it is? Those are the pieces that we need to address in family therapy. The family is probably one of the most important parts within the treatment team.
Yeah. As a center of excellence, the Rancho San Diego facility attracts people from all around the country. So if the family's in Texas, what do you do?
So we have a option for telehealth, and what that is we have a secure video option, which basically is a HIPAA compliant video option, where we bring the parents onto the computer screen and we're able to see them and converse with them in that capacity.
Good. So
wow,
it's obviously this is something we, you know, is helping people. Where, as Stephanie was asking you, Cal, where is that point where you decide, I need or my child needs a higher level of care than outpatients? Like you'd taken David to see a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and then you felt, no, this. Where is the tipping point? What happens?
That could be when my wife moves out and gets her own apartment.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, and I have a small daughter too. We've been through so much with this guy that she had to leave because she felt that she was being verbally abused. She wanted to take my daughter out of the situation because she didn't want my daughter to think that it was acceptable to be in an abusive relationship and tolerate it.
Right. So, right. And so the whole family becomes dysfunctional.
It causes huge problems between my wife and I.
Right. And also, it's funny that, or it's alarming sometimes, that we don't recognize the problems of what I guess clinicians call psychopathology in the person, in the kid. And then once you treat that, the family dynamic changes quite a lot.
Absolutely. One of the greatest things that we got, because what they did at Sovereign Health was they observed him under all types of situations. He was there for 5 days, and they had a school situation where he would go in there and they would observe his behavior at school. They'd observe his behavior with other children. They'd observe his behavior in all different types of situations, and they would talk to him and interview him. And they, all these different doctors with different specialties, got so much insight for us that it really changed the way that we communicate and how we handle him.
That's so amazing. You know, unfortunately, we have to go to a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about that, and we're going to discuss whether a treatment center is too good to be true. Bikram yoga, anyone? You're listening to In Your Right Mind, brought to you by Sovereign Health on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We'll be right back.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News. I'm James Stanley with this news update. Elevated levels of methane were briefly observed Friday night at the Aliso Canyon Natural Gas Storage Facility in the Porter Ranch area, but didn't pose a health risk to the public. An accused pedophile pastor is behind bars this weekend.
Pablo Cesar Cartonega, a former youth minister of a Panorama City church, was arrested by LAPD officers Thursday for allegedly sexually assaulting his three stepchildren and a 10-year-old who is a family friend and a member of his church. Investigators say Cartagena's first victim was elementary school age in 2005 when she was assaulted several times within an 18-month time span while no one was home. Steve Cummings, 790 KABC News.
KABC SoCal weather this weekend. Partly cloudy, low 54 overnight, mostly sunny, high 70 this afternoon. We're going to be in the mid-70s by midweek. Right now it's 60 in downtown Los Angeles. I'm James Stanley, 790 KABC News.
We are back with In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. I'm Stephanie Wilder-Taylor. We are talking treatment with Nora David and Ken Seeley. Millions of people are going to check into treatment this year alone.
Well, not all treatment centers are created equal or remain equal, even if they were, you know, they were good. Some become not so good, and if they were not so good, they might become better as they put systems in place. There are some red flags sometimes that one could watch out for. Ken, you have put people from from somebody who has looked at different treatment centers and are, you know, you're aware of the different types of centers. What would you tell our listeners about how should they pick a treatment center? What should they do?
Yeah, what I love what you said, Dr. Sharma, is that, you know, with this adolescent program, you have you're able to service transgender, eating disorders. I know in your Palm Desert, you have where you're able to separate the elder population. So really looking at what the needs of the patient are prior to just jumping into a treatment center. And, you know, I love the elder population. You have the adolescent, you have the gay lesbian, you have the transgender. But the most important is if you stick somebody that's in their 50s and 60s that is an alcoholic that knows nothing about shooting up heroin with a bunch of, you know, adolescents or 16, 17, 18-year-olds that are shooting heroin, it's going to be hard for them to relate. So your love of really understanding how to separate them is so powerful, because it's important that they could identify when they get into treatment with the people that they're in treatment with.
Yeah.
So I love that about you.
Well, thank you. I think it's about Sovereign rather than me, but I appreciate the comment or the praise, and I will pass that on. My question, further is, if there is a, how do let me paraphrase this again. If you were looking for treatment, one area might be what type of age group there is and what type of orientation, which is what you've talked about. How do you otherwise choose a treatment center? Are you looking for certain therapeutic aspects of it? What about the treatment in treatment centers?
Yeah, I think the first and the most important is the clinical. You want to make sure that the treatment center has the appropriate clinical staff. So asking them, you know, who's in charge of running the facility and what are their degrees, and looking into what kind of modalities do they offer while they're in treatment. Like Nora was just talking about, all those different interventions is what is necessary when you're dealing with somebody in treatment. I mean, a lot of treatment centers out there put their, you know, get their licensure and they offer 12 steps and that's it. You know, go to 12-step meetings and we'll do some one-on-one therapy with you. But really, if you're looking for a treatment center, when I'm looking for a treatment center, I want to make sure the clinical team is appropriate to handle the trauma that the individual has gone through to get them to the point where they had their addiction has come to a head and they need the clinical help that's necessary to get them to the other side.
So just for our listeners then, without necessarily, you know, naming names, is there an experience you've had of a not so great treatment center? And if so, what was it, in the sense of what did it not do, so that we can distill this out?
Yeah, I wouldn't work with a treatment center that is, that thinks they know everything about, you know, treatment. Like, I've had this happen numerous times. You know, I do an intervention on somebody and I take them to a treatment facility and I say, you know, here is the information I got from the family and here's some of the bottom lines that they put into place to motivate them to want to change. And the treatment center says, yeah, no, we got this. You know, we don't need any of that information. And they think that they know it all. When I love what Sovereign does, they like the treatment team approach, because it really has to be a team approach, because while they're in treatment, that's a small area. And then you got to go into aftercare. You know, what are they going to be doing? You got to make sure that they're doing what they were taught in treatment when they get back home. So recovery is a long process and it isn't a quick fix. So the treatment centers that think they know it all, I just can't work with them. They have to have the mentality that we need a team approach. And I've never sent anyone to any of your facilities that they feel like, oh, we got this. It's always been, how can we work together? And that's the key component for any treatment center that I work with or send to.
This is such good advice. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. We're talking with Nora David, who is Sovereign Health's Rancho San Diego Adolescent Facility Director, and Ken Seeley, who is one of the stars of A&E's Intervention, one of my favorite shows, and also author of the book Face It and Fix It. And we're talking about how we can tell the difference between a good treatment facility and one that might not be so helpful. And I have a question about, you know, sometimes we'll be watching TV late at night and you'll see commercials for treatment centers. And sometimes they do a lot of advertising. It makes it almost sound like, you know, you're going to be going on a vacation. Is this a good thing or is this not a good thing? You know what I'm talking about, where they say there's massage therapy and there's horseback riding and there's outings to the movies. And is that something that people should be looking for, or is that something people should be wary of?
Yeah, I love that, because in all reality, it's again going back to clinical. What are they getting clinical? The disease is rooted through, you know, some form of a trauma. So it's not about getting a massage or, you know, I love equine therapy, but it's not about going horseback riding. It's really about digging in there and doing the work. You know, you get this short period of time, and unfortunately, treatment is dictated by what insurance pays for. You know, a lot of families don't have the money to keep people in for as long as they really need to be there. So now that it's dictated by treatment, by the insurance companies, you got to get in there and do as much clinical work as possible in that short frame. You cannot waste time on, you know, oh, it's about getting massages and we're going to go this and we're going to do that. You know, like you said, in those TV commercials, it's not about that. It's about, you are suffering. You are dying. and you need some support to get you out of your addiction.
But I think Stephanie raises an important point, Ken, and it's about, you know, selling treatment to a vulnerable audience that our population that may not be that informed. So when you say on primetime TV that you can cure the illness, and we've all seen those adverts, I think it's important that shows like this, you know, dispel that kind of myth that recovery is a lifelong phenomena and treatment starts after rehab.
Right, Nora, you were saying about how treatment is plants the seed.
Mm-hmm. I believe that when a resident comes into treatment, that what we do is we identify what the symptoms are, and then we go from there. We start planting seeds. So we plant seeds of, okay, this was a trigger for you. How are we going to address this? What coping mechanisms do you currently have? Were they helpful? Were they unhelpful? And go from there. And by planting seeds, we're hoping that the seeds grow with the support of the family, the multidisciplinary team, and the external environment once they discharge. So it's not about massage therapy. It's not about all those things, although those might be fun and helpful in some capacity. At the end of the day, you're looking at a life or death situation. Do you want help, or do you want to have fun where the fun has led you to maladaptive coping mechanisms in the past? So how do you want to move forward from here?
Right. But are those things important just in the general sense of teaching you that you can still have fun?
Absolutely.
Without drinking?
Yeah, there's something called sober fun. And so, especially at my facility, I deal with children. And so I want to make sure that these children understand that there are so many different avenues that you can have sober fun. There are a lot of handicaps nowadays with technology and other things that limit what types of interactions children have. But at the same time, you can very well still have fun without needing to utilize a substance that is going to be really detrimental to your health and functioning.
Absolutely. We need to go to a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk much more about how to tell if the rehab that you're going to is a good one. And we're going to bring Cal back in and hear about how his son is doing now. You're listening to In Your Right Mind, brought to you by Sovereign Health on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Be right back.
Hey, it's Scott, and I have a new talk show that will help you get out of debt faster, save more money, retire rich, and become a financial rock star. Get up early and listen to the Scott Allen Turner Show, Sundays at 4 a.m. on 790 KABC.
This is Meryl Schimmel with the Daily Nosh here on KABC. I'm with Greg Doolin from Doolin's on Crenshaw, where every Sunday, all day long, you serve your complete dinner special, $18.45, an amazing deal.
You know, Meryl, Sunday is the big day in the soul food world, and everybody eats soul food, and our Sunday special is hard to beat.
Now, do you have a lot of people coming straight from church, ladies wearing the big hats and everything?
They come straight from church, and they are hungry. And the complete Sunday meal gives them their dinner, their beverage is included, and they get dessert with that.
It's perfection. $18.45, you could choose pretty much all the entrees. And, you know, I just love the fact that the beverage is included.
It's actually the best deal in town, Meryl.
Yeah. Yeah. No, brunch used to be so big in Los Angeles. It's kind of faded away, but you're basically doing it all day long.
Yes, that's right.
All day at Doolin's. Doolin's on Crenshaw. It doesn't get better than that.
Having problems sleeping? I can solve that. I'm Dr. Nazarian, the Beverly Hills dentist. Wait, you ask, how can a dentist help me sleep better? My answer? By fixing that toothache that keeps you up all night. I also provide all the dental services your family may need. My number is 310-277-8232. So if you want to get a good night's sleep along with a great smile, give me a call. 310-277-8232. Also at thebeverlyhillsdentist.com. Pleasant dreams.
Tony Gatliff here, host of Military Resource Radio, the only show that enlightens our audience regarding military-related resources. We also discuss real estate, mortgages, current events, and a little bit of everything. Military Resource Radio, Sundays at 5 a.m. on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Wendy's Double Stack is back in the 4 for $4 with a quarter pound of fresh, never-frozen beef, which means you can get the Double Stack, the Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, or the Crispy Chicken BLT, along with 4 nuggets, small fries, and a small drink, all for just $4. And it's only around for a limited time, so you better hurry and get to Wendy's today.
That's a deal so good, it can't be beat. No, I said beat, not beep.
Sorry, man.
Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S. and Canada.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh, man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. Scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. What doesn't make sense is if we call bicycles bikes and tricycles trikes, shouldn't we call motorcycles mics? Maybe a bunch of guys named Mike teamed up and put a stop to it.
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
One size fits all has no place in your bedroom. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of Helix Sleep, and we know one mattress can't work for everyone. That's why we created the only mattress built for you. Go to helixsleep.com, take our two-minute sleep quiz, and we'll build your custom mattress and ship it to you for free. Try for 100 nights, and if it's not the best sleep you've ever had, we'll pick it up and give you your money back. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio right now, and we'll give you $50 towards your custom mattress. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
What is us?
Us is a foundation.
Us is the future.
Us is a bond.
But right now, that bond is frayed.
And we need a place that could make it whole.
From diabetes prevention to safety around water.
The Y fills the gaps.
And bridges our divide.
But they can't do it without us.
Donate today.
Because where there's a Y, there's an us.
Led by members of the Y.
The Y. For a better us.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles. If it's got a motor, we've got your man. If there was ever a time you needed an automotive expert like Leon Kaplan at your side, it's now. The Motor Man. This morning at 8 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We're back with In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. I'm Stephanie Wilder-Taylor. We're talking about treatment with our guest, Nora David, who is Sovereign Health's Rancho San Diego Adolescent Facility Director, and also Ken Seeley, who has done maybe a million interventions and is also known from A&E's intervention. So, Dr. Sharma?
Well, before the break, we were talking about the fact that treatment is an episode. So, you know, people have been treatment in the addiction field, at least. Treatment of addiction is similar to how you treat an infection as a one-off. You give them a shot of penicillin, you give them a course of antibiotic, and it's over. But addiction is a brain illness that is a chronic relapsing and remitting illness. And so the treatment for this is lifelong, essentially. But at least for 5 years, we need to monitor this. I wanted to bring Ken in to this whole concept of continuing care or aftercare. You have a very novel and innovative approach to this, Ken. Our listeners would benefit from listening to you about it.
Absolutely. And I love when you said earlier before the break, these people that say there's a cure out there, it just, you know, makes my skin crawl. Because these are vulnerable people that are listening, and they want that hope that, oh my God, there is a cure out there, and, you know, there is a quick fix. Don't we all want a quick fix? But, you know, I've been in recovery myself, you know, since 1989, and I still have to work a program. I still have to go get therapy at times and deal with the way my mind works around my addiction. So really, aftercare is really what treatment's all about. And I love the other, you know, caller in, Cal, the dad, talking about his son, and understands that it's a family disease, because if we could change the family system, the addict will change. So the aftercare program that we put together, we were able about a year and a half ago to get it Joint Commission accredited. So now insurance is open to paying for that aftercare that is so desperately needed when they leave treatment. So I think that's the key component. I mean, without it, shame on us not offering it to our clients, because recovery is a process. You know, like Stephanie said, you know, her recovery, all of our recovery that are in recovery, recovery is a process. and us going to our meetings and doing what we need to do to stay sober doesn't end. Our disease doesn't go anywhere. So saying that there's a cure, I mean, just breaks my heart, because I don't know anybody out there that has got cured from this disease. I know people that are in recovery from this disease, but I don't know anybody that doesn't have to continue to do some work around their addiction and their illness around that.
So what do you think is the important components of, you know, when somebody leaves treatment, are they discharged into an intensive outpatient treatment? Are they given therapy once a week? Is somebody following? How does that work exactly?
Well, I like the way Nora's talked about it earlier. You know, each person is individual, so you follow their plan, but really intervening at all steps of the way. So maybe at the beginning they need residential, then maybe they need PHP, then IOP, then OP, and then case management that follows them up to 5 years. The case management model that we follow is the same one that the Dr. Diversion Program has been doing for over 30 years. And, you know, I know we talk about success and how do you measure success, but with the doctors, they get randomly drug tested for the 5 years that they're in that program, and they get an 80 to 85% success rate of 5 years. So they're getting a case manager to work with them after treatment, because I guarantee you, I'm telling you myself, I had to do this numerous times in my recovery, but as you're going through recovery in that first 5 years, there's going to be times that you need to go back into some form of treatment. It may only be IOP, it may be only OP, you know, but you're going to have to go back in and deal with some more therapeutic issues that didn't come up at the very beginning. And if you have somebody working with you and guiding you through that process, so you don't lose track of it and think, oh, I got this, you know, because that's where everybody loses it when they say, I got this. That's like one of the most scariest things I ever hear an addict say, is because I still don't feel like I got this with 28 years sober.
And there's no shame in that. There's no shame in it. Should just be expected that you're going to need to follow up. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. We're talking with Nora David and Ken Seeley about what happens after treatment. And I want to ask Saul, who was talking to us earlier about his son, what's happening now and what type of aftercare? Give us the epilogue.
Sure. Well, when he was in the vicinity, we actually learned a lot about him through the reports and through how they studied basically his whole way of being. And while he was gone, he didn't really exhibit cravings for any kind of drugs, any kind of alcohol or anything. Anything that he did, it turned out basically to be a side effect of who he was hanging out with, who he wanted to fit in with. And so we caught this at an early stage. And
it was more about social acceptance.
It was more that teenage thing. Yeah. And he hadn't developed those kinds of cravings yet, which is great. But what was uncovered was the behavioral disorders that he had or was developing. And that was what we needed to address, which I thought was so awesome, because I could have just put him in to some random rehab facility and he could have said, well, I'm not an alcoholic. And they could have said, yes, you are. Admit it. Admit you're an alcoholic. That's not what happened. What happened was they observed him and they got to the root of what the real problems were. And with that report, which was about an inch thick, and also speaking with the doctors, not just reading the report, but they took a lot of time to explain everything on the report and all the testing that they did, we were able to really understand the types of things that we needed to do in order to try and get him on the right track. And just extremely grateful for how that worked out. We got him into the right kind of therapy that he needed to be in. And it was also recommended that he don't stay with the family right now, that he needed to work on things outside of the family and he needed to be somewhere. And we found the right school for him. And he's doing well. He's really getting on the right track. And I just can't I can't express my gratitude because things are heading in a really good direction right now.
I love the fact that you're accepting of the idea that he needs to be outside of the family right now, and that you weren't expecting him to go to treatment and then come home and everything's all better and he just goes back to school and continues doing what he was doing, but not doing the bad things. You know, I think it's really commendable that you were able to see that maybe what's right for him might not be the feel good solution that people are after. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the thing about it too is that we had him seeing psychiatrists who are putting him on medications, and it really turns out that he doesn't need to be medicated. You know, the behavioral issues that he's having do not require medication. They require a certain way, certain types of discipline, certain lifestyle, and he's getting to experience the structure that he needs right now at the special school that we put him into.
And it's probably important to realize for the family, right, that it's nobody's fault. You know, I would imagine that for a lot of parents that are dealing with this, the first thing they feel is guilt of, like, what did I do or what did I not do to cause this to happen? And then that guilt and stigma might prevent you from getting your child the help they need. But I figure that a lot of problems that kids have and a lot of mental health issues, and maybe Nora, you can answer this, are problems that are intrinsic in the child and not just necessarily in the way they're parented or
just in the intake process itself. You see the guilt from
Absolutely.
The patients. Go ahead.
Yes. So when families come in, there are a variety of different families that come in. We have families that tell their children they're going to Disneyland and show up at our facility, or they're going
That's
on
what I would do.
They're going on a cruise in
it
San
is a,
Diego.
It's got 26 acres with, you know, she has a swimming pool, a tennis court, a basketball court, all of this.
It's similar to Disneyland.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah,
a little more expensive.
But residents come with their families to the facility, and what we do there is we take them and to the intake, and sometimes the families are cohesive and they're able to communicate with each other effectively and with a therapist who's completing the intake assessment. And what that looks like is very, very heartbreaking for the parents. I have parents sobbing and saying how horrible they are, or, you know, what did they do wrong and how can they fix this? And it's not something that can be fixed that easily. It's something that needs time. It needs, again, like, to plant the seed and to watch it grow. We have to utilize all the interventions. And if something's not working for this family, it's not the right thing. That's trial and error. We move on to the next intervention that we can utilize. But sometimes when families come in and it's very evident that they should not be in the same room, we separate the family from the child and interview separately so that we can make sure we're getting the details of the crisis and the trauma.
So sometimes the family environment itself is fairly toxic.
Exactly.
Well, we have to wrap up, but Ken, any last words of advice?
No, I think every listener should do what Cal did. Follow the clinical recommendations and you will get the same results. Don't take matters in your own hands, because way too often most people do just the opposite. They think they're cured. They think they're better because they finished 30 days of treatment, and that's not the answer. Follow what Cal did and hopefully you'll get the same results.
And Nora, you are the person who helped Cal and Cal's son. Can you tell us, if somebody would like to get a hold of you, how they can do that?
Absolutely. So what the first step is, if you are somebody that likes the internet, you can go to softteen.com. And for the adults, if you'd like support for a loved one that's an adult, you can go to solvehealth.com. And the number that you can reach somebody at any time is 888-383-CARE.
Okay, that's great. So people are standing by all the time, right? At 888-383-CARE. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's all the time we have. Thanks everybody for listening. I'd like to thank our guests, Cal Saul, for your honesty, and Nora David and Ken Seeley. And next Sunday at 5 p.m., we're going to take you inside the treatment process with our guests, Melissa Mucci, a former patient who's now a lead house manager at Sovereign Health, and Sovereign Health of Palm Desert's Associate Program Director, Dr. Mary Burst. If you like what you hear, you can download this edition of In Your Right Mind as a podcast by going to iTunes, or visit inyourrightmind.com to hear this show or previous broadcasts of In Your Right Mind. See you next week.
This show furnished by Dual Diagnosis Treatment Center.